And you're listening to the Peter Eichlin Show, broadcasting live from the Ivory Tower on the third floor of the Cub. This is Scooter.
This is Peter Eichlin. Morning.
How are you doing today?
Good. How about you?
Not too bad. Don Snow, visiting Arnold Professor of Environmental Studies, has been discussing with Whitman students in a series of lectures this year. He will be presenting the culminating lecture in the public presentation Thursday, May 2nd, on the Whitman County, Whitman College campus at 7 p.m. in the Young Ballroom Reed Campus Center, corner of Park and Boyer. His presentations are free and open to the public. Come join us. Todd Sloan, the professor of psychology at Georgetown University, will discuss global awareness, life choices, and social responsibility when he visits Whitman College campus Monday, April 29th. That would be today. Sloan's lectures will be at 7:30 p.m. in the Maxey Auditorium near Otis and Boyer Hall on the Whitman Campus College. His presentation is free and open to the public and is sponsored by the Whitman College Department of Psychology. KZUU is now accepting summer applications. If you're interested in becoming an on-air personality here at KZUU, come by room 311 in the Cub or get an application online at www.kzuu.org. We hire a wide variety of people and would like to hear from you, so come on, jump aboard the KZUU bandwagon. Come check out our Up All Night with plenty of great entertainment, free food, and a variety of activities. Come join hundreds of your fellow Cougars who just can't stand another night of the same old sitting around looking for something to do. The next and last Up All Night is Saturday, May 4th, location to be announced. On the first Earth Day in 1970, 20 million Americans asked their government to protect the environment. Strong laws were soon enacted, but today these laws are not enforced. That's where Earth Justice comes in. Earth Justice is a private, non-profit. Earth Justice is a non-profit law firm that represents groups working to protect their air, water, wildlife, and families. To learn how you can help, call 1-800-584-6460 or visit www.earthjustice.org. This message is from the management of KZUU. We as a station attempt to support alternative views in our music as well as our programming choices. From time to time, you may find that material presented by our staff is personally offensive. In view of recent complaints as to the content of certain shows, we've decided to institute a forum to allow you, the listener, to speak your piece. Several times per day, we will run a five-minute segment where we air concerns or gripes you may have at the station, its staff, the university, or the world in general. You may submit these in audio format or in written statement. KZUU will provide recording facilities for those who wish. For more information, please contact us via email at opinion@kzuu.org.
Wow. Think we had anything to do with that?
I don't think so.
No.
Be
that way.
Nobody would complain about us. They like us. The patient shook his head gingerly as he slowly regained consciousness. "Well, doc," he asked, "tell me, was the operation a success?" "Sorry, son," said the reply. "I'm afraid I'm not your doctor. I'm St. Peter." That would mean to me that was probably not a success, was it?
No, it wasn't.
Definitely not. Just in case you're wondering, once again, we are playing our song, Cool as You from Landis. This is actually a different version, mixed a little bit differently by my friend who mixed these for me. This one, instead of having certain instruments on one side and others on the other side, this is sort of just coming all out of your speakers all at one time. Everybody on earth dies and goes to heaven. God comes and says, "I want the men to make two lines. One line for the men that dominated their women on earth, and the other one for the men who were whipped by the women. Also, I want the women to go with St. Peter." Said and done, next time God looks, the women are all gone, and there are two lines. The line with men that were whipped by the women was 100 miles long. The line with men that dominated their women was only one man. God got mad and said, You men should be ashamed of yourself. I created you in the image. I created you in my image, and you were all whipped by your mates. Look at the only one of my sons who stood up and made me proud. Learn from him. Tell me, my son, how did you manage to be the only one in this line? The man said, I don't know. My wife told me to stand here. Okay. That's about it for that. And we will get on.
Those are pretty good.
Yeah. We'll get on with the show here shortly. The article or the story that we talked about last week, insofar as the black man who was shot by a white deputy over in King County, Mr. Thomas, who was shot by Mr. Miller. As we know, it's been a very racially charged issue, and they're looking for Thomas to lose his, or for Miller to lose his job over this. And when I say there, I'm talking about Mr. Reverend Braxton and his Mount Zion Church followers. And in more breaking news, a chaplain for Eastside Fire and Rescue, which is the old Fire District 10, Issaquah Fire, all that area on the east side of the Seattle area, resigned from his duty due to what were viewed as racist comments. And he was out viewing the Mount Zionist website, the Mount Zionist Church website, and people were talking about you know, how great it was that they were so successful in their march and how they clogged up I-5 and all that kind of good stuff. And one lady wrote that, you know, she was proud of everything and whatnot. And anyway, that perturbed it a little bit, so he decided to write her a letter and said something along the lines of, you're either, well, it really doesn't matter what he said. He essentially said that she was either black or something else. And that the lady was very upset by this, went to Eastside Fire and Rescue and wanted his resignation. So I guess that's the way we deal with racism these days. You just want the person to resign.
Fire them, yeah.
Now, you know, no speaking your mind anymore. You know, either that will give you an open public forum to fix the ills of society and the evil people.
So, but at least that would get all the opinions out there. To just say, well, he offended me, let's fire him. Or, excuse me, force him to resign is, I mean, do we still live in a free society?
No. And you can reach us at 335-2207 on the web at www.informationtechnologyprofessionals.com and message board, www.wittybanter.com.
You can, and the site is up and running.
Okay.
Once again.
This is going to be sort of interesting. The Peter Man will like this. Reverend Mark Williams is an openly gay pastor. What do you feel about that? Homophobic Pete.
Homophobic Pete over here. Well, what church is he from?
He's from the Woodland Park United Methodist Church.
It doesn't surprise me then.
Why is that?
Well, because the Methodist and Lutheran both allow homosexual pastors.
How would they do that, though? I don't understand.
I don't really understand it either, because I'm a Southern Baptist.
Okay, and I mean, I thought the Bible, according to you, you said the Bible straight up says that homosexuality is wrong.
That is correct.
Now, I was told also that a couple chapters before it says that, it also says that eating meat is wrong and doing all sorts of these other things are wrong, which I know you participate in, so.
Yeah, I think you were talking about Old Testament. And Old Testament is just that, Old Testament.
No,
New Testament is when Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross. Well, actually, when Jesus Christ is born, the New Testament starts. And it goes through his life and then his crucifixion and the apostles and what they do afterwards. And the stuff that Jesus says in the New Testament is what you're supposed to follow. The Old Testament is just that, the Old Testament. You look back to it for reference because there's interesting lessons and parallels that can be drawn and whatnot, but the New Testament is what you live by.
Oh, okay.
That's why you see a lot of churches give out those little, like, 5-inch packets, like 5 inches high and 3 inches wide, those little booklets, and they say New Testament on them.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason they hand those out. It's not because they're like starting a cult or something, or you're too stupid to understand the whole Bible. It's just that's the important verses, the New Testament. So,
why are they the more important ones?
Well, because it says that when God sent His Son, that Jesus Christ walked the earth to He was the perfect man, and He was setting an example of how you're supposed to live your life, and He was laying out laws and changing everything, pretty much. He was changing from the old law, God's law, which was Old Testament, to the new one, which was New Testament.
Mm. So the anti-homosexuality stuff was in the Old Testament?
No, it's actually in both.
It's in both, okay.
Yes.
What chapters deal with it in the Old Testament?
The Old Testament was mostly Leviticus, I believe.
Leviticus, that was Old Testament stuff.
Yes, that is Old Testament. That's the third book.
Okay. So if I'm just sort of this whole not eating meat thing, that just sort of confuses me.
Well, that sounds like Old Testament to me.
Yeah.
Because that sounds like kind of like what the Jews believe. And the Jews don't go by the New Testament. They go by the Old Testament because they don't believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. They just believe Jesus Christ was a man.
I see. So anyway, I just find it interesting that according to the homophobe Pete over here, that the Bible says that homosexuality is wrong, yet there's a gay minister, which seems to go totally against that whole entire notion.
It does. And
especially the idea that it's a choice. Why would somebody who's you know, working for God choose to go against Him?
Well, you know, that's a really good question, and that breaks down to the different kinds of religions and what they believe. I mean, there's a lot of religions, and I know somebody's going to probably get offended by this, but there's a lot of religions that, you know, they add their own books to the Bible, and they call themselves Christians. I don't believe that works. I mean, if you add books to the Bible, then you're violating what the Bible says. The Bible says this is the complete and holy truth of God, and to adding books to it is just as makes it a cult, and that's what the Bible says. So, I mean, if you look at churches that add books to the Bible, they claim to be doing God's work, but they're not. But that's my view as a Southern Baptist. So, I have the same view with the Methodist. The Methodists as a whole have decided to. That's a cool sound. I feel like I'm in a need a strobe light and some techno music playing. And
anyways,
the Methodists as a whole have accepted the. The homosexual movement, and so a lot of their churches are allowing that now. Same with the Lutherans.
So are you against that?
Absolutely.
Why?
Because the Bible says homosexuality is wrong in New Testament.
Or is it that you're homophobic?
No, it's because the Bible says that homosexuality is wrong. And since I'm Southern Baptist, I believe the Bible, and you're not supposed to have homosexual preachers. Your preacher is supposed to be holy
just out of curiosity.
And whatnot.
Oh, he's supposed so.
So I mean,
if he breaks any of the rules of the Bible, he should be.
He's
out.
Supposed to be if they're.
But I thought all men is like imperfect.
If they're
all of them are going to sin.
If they're major rules, then they're considered. They need to be perfect. So if he
major rules,
but he needs to be trying his best. Like okay,
major rules.
If you,
I thought like sin was sin was sin and. They're all going to take you to hell.
Well, sin is sin is sin. And if he breaks the rules, then the way the Bible says is that you're supposed to ask for forgiveness, repentance, mm-hmm. and truly mean it. So if he was a homosexual and he had asked for forgiveness from God because it's a choice and a sin, according to the Bible, and he had asked for forgiveness from God and was working to change his ways, then he could be a preacher. If he tells a lie and he asked for forgiveness and is trying not to lie anymore, he could be a preacher. If he's actively out there lying, he would be removed from preacher just as fast in my church as a Southern Baptist as he would if he were homosexual, as he would if he'd murdered someone. It's about forgiveness and repentance.
You know what's cracking me up about this? You're saying this with a straight face. You're not even like laughing or smiling. I mean, it's like you're believing this.
Oh, I am.
Oh.
That's why I'm explaining it to you.
Okay. So I found it sort of interesting. You said if the pastor is gay and or whatever it was, something along those lines, and it's like so you didn't say if he chooses to act out in a gay way. You said if he is gay, which would lead me to believe what you meant is that he
he's
a person who was born gay.
Now, you see, to be gay,
okay.
Since I believe that it's a choice,
mm-hmm.
anything I say is reflecting it's a choice. You know, I'm a man.
You chose to be a man.
No, I'm just saying I'm a man.
You chose there.
What are you saying? I'm just making statements.
Okay.
I'm a man. I'm Peter. You know?
The pastor is gay.
Pastor is gay. I could say the pastor's a murderer. He wasn't born a murderer. He chose to be a murderer.
But he's not a murderer. So that's a false statement to begin with.
Well, but I'm saying, well, as far as my church is concerned, he wouldn't be gay either. So...
What do you mean he wouldn't be gay? You'd call it something else?
No, I'm saying he wouldn't be a pastor at my church if he were gay.
Oh.
Unless he was gay and was repenting, because that's a sin.
But once again, you said if he was gay, and that once again leads to the fact that you're not saying it's a choice. It's the way
no,
he was born.
No, it is a choice. Just because I make a statement, he is something, doesn't mean that he's born that way. You can choose. If I say, that man is a murderer, was he born a murderer? No. I mean... Come on, just because I make a statement doesn't mean that you're born that way. That woman is a blonde, you know? Doesn't mean she was born that way. She very easily dyed her hair, I mean.
Then she wouldn't be a blonde now, would she? She'd just have blonde hair.
But I might say that woman is a blonde, because
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't know.
You can't tell when somebody dyes their hair?
Not if they do a really good job until it starts growing out.
So anyway, homophobic Pete. I find it sort of interesting, though, that a religion with something that's supposedly so blatantly clear, straightforward, that needs no interpretation, that...
Well, you know, like I said earlier, the Bible straightforward blatantly says that if you add any more books to this completed work, that you will have a cult, and that's will send you straight to hell. I mean, that's what the Bible says. And yet many churches... add books to the Bible or modify books of the Bible to fit what they believe. I mean, they claim to be following God, but they're not.
Mm-hmm. And has the Methodist Church added books?
I don't actually know if they've added books, but they've obviously changed some of the Bible if they're allowing homosexual preachers.
They've changed the Bible?
Or they've just ignored parts, one of the two.
Maybe they're just interpreting it the way it was meant to be interpreted.
No, they'd be changing something.
Showing God's love to those who are born certain ways.
Yeah, you see, that's the whole thing. I guess, I don't know if you're a religious person or not. I'm guessing that you're not very church-going. Or I mean that you haven't when you were growing up, were you?
I don't think that matters.
Well, the reason I say that is because it's common of people who didn't grow up going to church to think that because I say something is a sin and that, you know, a homosexual preacher wouldn't be allowed... to preach at our church, that we hate them. You know,
that's right.
As you're going to say right
love
here.
Love the sin, hate the sinner.
Yeah.
Yeah, Peter agrees with that one. I love it. No, how about hate the sin, love the sinner?
That's Peter's.
Yeah, that's what Peter likes to do. He hates the sin, loves the sinner.
Except without the mocking tone.
What mocking tone? I just said it the way you normally do.
No, you didn't. But that's all right. But it is common to think that you hate them, and we don't hate them.
Okay. Now, we were talking about this the other day.
We can show God's love towards someone while still condemning what they do.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, I guess...
I like you say, just blow
it
off.
Said,
it's
you,
not
no,
possible.
You said God's love, and I like how you pointed that out, that it was God's love and not your love.
It is God's love.
Okay, so you... So I guess what I'm saying is that you're showing God's love, which is what's supposed to be acceptance towards all, or something like that.
Well, God's love is not acceptance towards all. It's loving all.
Loving all,
but condemning what they do if it's a sin.
Okay. So
and we practice, you know, but from a church point of view, you know, I know what you're going to say here. It's God's love, not my love, all that, because as you just pointed out, again, that's just normally said from someone who hasn't spent a lot of time in church.
Okay.
Going to church, everything is considered God's love. I mean,
sounds like that I'm out of the loop, that I was
pretty much
part of your cult or something like that.
I mean, well, not cult, but you were out of the loop because, you know, when you went to my church and Someone would shake your hand, give you a hug, say, welcome, we're so glad you came.
Did guys hug guys?
Please stay afterwards to eat some food at a potluck or whatever. And everything would be considered God's, you know, God's food, God's
mm-hmm.
love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not my food I'm giving you. It's considered God's food
mm-hmm.
that I'm sharing with you.
Okay. Okay.
Through the grace of God
Great.
That I even have it.
Okay. So I guess, like I was saying earlier, we were discussing this the other day. And one of the things I was pointing out there, and I think I'll try to point out on the air and see if it makes any sense. I don't think it will for you. When you say that you, quote-unquote, hate the sin and love the sinner, did you like that non-condescending tone of voice?
I did like that.
But I did use quotes because that's, anyway.
No, that's perfectly all right. I appreciate the non-condescending
When you say you
tone.
Hate the sin and you love the sinner, what you're saying is that you hate the action that they're doing, which is a sin. But even though they sin, you still love that person because they're a person made from God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Okay. So I guess what I'm that would be understandable if they were, say,
well, see, this is where we disagree here.
Somebody who loves money or something mm-hmm. like that, which is supposedly like a big sin. You know, I can understand that. But this is where, you know, I guess our fundamental problem comes in is somebody who is born gay.
Well, okay. You're not born gay. That's the whole thing.
Okay, let me finish, please.
All right. Somebody
who is born gay.
Just make sure people understand.
Yeah, homophobic Pete over here is not going to let me finish this because he knows how much sense it makes.
No, it really doesn't. But since Scott interrupts me on like every time I talk on every show, I figure I can at least throw in that it's a choice.
I think everybody's blatantly clear that you think it's a choice.
Just making sure. I'm sure I've said that today.
I'm sure that homophobic Pete and everybody knows that, you know, because like we said, hate the sinner, hate the sin, right?
Yeah.
As long as it's a homosexual.
Love the sinner.
As long as it's homosexual, then you'll hate both.
Hate the sin, love the sinner.
Yeah, right. You're homophobic. You admitted it. We have it on tape.
But that was by your definition, not the standard definition that's just assumed when someone says homophobic.
Oh, okay. Anyway, let's see if I could get this out here now. Anyway, the whole thing is that somebody who is a certain way, somebody who is born... They have certain attributes upon birth. One of them is eye color. One of them is skin color. One of them is hair color. One of them is sexual orientation.
No.
And if you were to say, you know, I really like you as a person, but I hate the color of your skin. Do you think the person's going to say, wow, he really likes me. He just doesn't like my skin color. Or is he going to say, you know, I don't care that he says he likes me. In fact, he doesn't like something that makes me and has made me, has shaped me into the person I am, I don't want anything to do with this person because he really doesn't like me. He claims he does. It's some sort of claim that he's trying to make. If somebody who is gay, especially in a situation where, according to homophobic Pete, it's two different things. You're a person and you choose to be gay. So it's a choice that you've made, sort of like, you know, a choice to put earrings in places where they don't belong, like lips and noses and stuff like that. It's a choice that somebody makes. And being gay is also, according to homophobe Pete, a choice that somebody makes.
That's correct. You
are able to say, you know, I hate it when you put earrings in your nose. I hate it when you put in earrings in your lips or something like that. But that doesn't mean I hate you as a person. I just hate that. And in homophobic Pete's world, you can say, I hate the fact that you love other men, but I like you as a person. And the person he tells that to looks at him and says, you're telling me that you hate an integral part of my life. It's not like it's some peripheral. It's not like I'm a computer and then that's my printer and you could just cut the cable and the computer is still there. No, being gay is like part of the motherboard, part of my CPU. It's part of who I am. And therefore, by saying that you hate that part of me, you're saying you essentially hate the whole me, because that is the whole me. So that's where homophobic Pete I think that homophobe Pete and everybody else who makes that argument loses it with somebody who's gay, because they look at him and say, you know, you just don't understand.
You know, anybody who makes that argument about anything would lose that argument to that person, though. I mean, if someone grows up as a thief and that becomes...
You're comparing thieves and gays. I like that. Continue.
No, it's not supposed to be some hidden meaning here.
Okay.
I'm just...
Good thing you didn't say
comparison.
Choosing to be a child molester.
If someone...
that'd be a much better comparison in your eyes, wouldn't it?
No,
homophobic Pete.
Just trying to give an example here.
Okay.
If someone's a thief, and they grow up as a thief, and they've been stealing for 20 years, and that's what they do, is they steal. You know, if I go up to them and try to change them and say, hey, I don't like what you're doing, stop it, but I still like you, they're probably going to look at me the same way with cross-eyed and say, hey, no, I don't want anything to do with you, you know? This is my life. If you don't like my life, then leave me alone. I'm not saying that I'm going to win the friendship of all these people around the world because I say that I hate the sin and love the sinner, that they're supposed to just, like, say, oh, well, that makes perfect sense to me. Won't you be my friend? But I'm saying that is what I do. And the fundamental thing difference between our two arguments, as you pointed out and I interrupted you to point out, was that it's not a choice. That it is a choice, I mean. I'm sorry.
I love it.
That it is a choice.
It's not a choice. You heard it here.
I was about
to
say.
Peter Mann said it. It's not a choice.
I was trying to say that it's not the same.
Hallelujah.
I was trying to say that it's not the same as skin color or something, and it is a choice.
It's
and
not a choice. I love it that Peter Mann said it. It's not a choice.
They got crossed.
Yay!
No, it is a choice. It's not the same as someone who's born black or born white. And that someone just saying...
Hopefully people are recording this because then they could say
and that someone
forever.
Will say, you know, it's not the same as if you're born black and someone walks up and says, I don't like the fact that you're black, but I like you because being a homosexual is a choice. And it can become an integral part of your life. I mean, if someone's been a homosexual for some time, then it can become a very deep part of who they are. And I can see how it could be very hard for someone.
See, I would argue that somebody who is born that way has been a homosexual their whole life. So, of course, it's going to be an integral part of their body.
I'm saying it's a choice, but if you do something long enough, it'll become part of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see how that could be very hard for them to see that I'm distinguishing a difference, because I can see exactly how they could think that, you know, how can I separate the two? But since it's a choice, I can.
Okay, so homophobic Pete, what I was sort of curious about is...
We have to get away from that, because, you know, by prefacing everything I say with homophobic Pete...
I'm sorry, does that offend you? Do you feel hurt? Do you feel like giving you a fair shake?
No, it's just that...
I don't
there's
hate
this thing,
you, Peter. I like you.
There's this thing...
I just don't like that part of you.
There's this thing...
Homophobic Pete.
There's this thing called conditioning the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing it quite effectively here.
What are you talking about?
Conditioning the audience is when...
Are you talking about when you call me PC Scooter?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah, I do it a lot, too. I have in the past.
Okay.
And if you'll notice, I've stopped recently. And I understand
that's
that
I'm... That's because you found
I'm
there's no
my,
reason to call me that.
I'm getting my... Oh, I think that there's definite reasons to call you that. It's
why?
Just, I've realized that I'm getting my fair shake here, because I've done it to you,
mm-hmm.
and you're getting back. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying that this is a thing called conditioning the audience. When you start out, you're... prefacing every comment with a derogatory phrase. You know, like when I say, this is coming
calling
from...
Calling you homophobic Pete is derogatory?
This is
I
coming
thought you
from...
Were, I thought you liked that. I thought that you were proud of being called homophobic.
No, because homophobic is this derogatory term of hate. And as we've said, I hate the sin but love the sinner. So it's not an accurate term for describing
same
me.
Same thing. The person and the sin are the same thing.
But it's not.
In that situation... In your eyes, they're not, but it's true. They are the
no,
same
in
thing.
In that situation,
so
in my eyes, they're not because
the
they're not.
Sin, you're saying you hate part of that person.
No, because yes. It's a choice, and I'm hating the choice that they've made.
Okay. That's an interesting thought, but no.
Well, it's not an interesting thought. It's an interesting fact.
No, it's not a fact. It's a thought, and we all know that be a thought.
No, it's definitely a fact.
Here's the interesting thing, though, is that... If you take away your whole entire hatred of gay people because
it's you not
think
a hatred.
That it's a choice that they make, and it becomes the way they're born. Where's your argument at? Are you still actually? Well, I believe that you're still going to say that it's wrong, whether you're born that way or whether you choose to be that way, because the Bible says it's wrong.
Well, here's the thing: it's a choice, and people aren't born that way. So, for me to try and sit here and argue against myself, as in, well, no, I mean, if they're born this way, then that just changes everything. And let me sit here and start telling you exactly how I'm wrong in what I've been saying for the past hour. That doesn't happen. It's a choice, period. See, I'm not going to contradict myself and counter-argue myself by saying that they're born that way. They're not. It's a choice.
Okay, I just find it interesting that as somebody who is so, who believes himself to be so affluent in the ability to argument, that he's unable to play devil's advocate with himself.
No, it just, it doesn't make sense for me to play devil's advocate with myself on a radio station when you're playing devil's advocate for me. Well, not devil's advocate, when you're arguing me to begin with.
I'm playing devil's advocate?
No, you're just arguing against me.
I you don't think I feel this?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Deep in my chest?
That's why I took back my statement about you playing devil's advocate. Because I believe that you believe what you're saying. We're having a discussion here. And when you're having a discussion, you don't counteract and play devil's advocate with yourself. That's stupid.
I'm not asking you to, like, all of a sudden just change your whole argument. I'm just asking you.
Yes, you are, though.
I'm just asking you.
I'm saying it's a choice. There's no way that you're born that way.
Simple fact, your whole argument is based, it appears from right now, that your argument is based on the fact that it's a choice. And also that it's wrong. In the Bible, according to the Bible, it's wrong. Mm-hmm. It's also a choice, which I guess in your eyes, you have to make it be a choice, because if it were the way you were born, you would have a harder time saying it's still wrong. The thing is if your whole entire argument is that the Bible says it's wrong, it wouldn't matter whether it's a choice or the way you're born.
Well,
because the Bible says it's wrong, and whether you're born that way or not, you're going to just have to overcome.
Not necessarily.
No.
Well, because with the Bible, the thing is that you're born into sin, so sin looks appealing, and it's things that you want to do. I mean, that's the way it is. And so the Bible, I mean, part of the fundamental belief in the Bible, and my fundamental belief that homosexuality is a sin based on the Bible, also goes with the belief that it's a choice. I mean, that's integral into the Bible, that these sins that you do are choices. Otherwise, you couldn't repent and to try and overcome them.
So by admitting that it's the way you're born, blows away the whole entire... I guess that would just blow away your whole entire belief system, right?
It pretty much would.
And you can't allow that to happen.
Well, because it's not the truth, though. I mean...
Because you don't believe it to be the truth. And let me ask you a question. Let me pose a question to you.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. You just said that if being gay is not a choice, that would blow away your whole belief system. Why would that be bad if that's the truth? Are you unwilling to accept the truth? If it were the truth.
Okay. My question, or my response to that is sort of in a roundabout way here. First off, as far as if, you know, there's no reason for me to answer if. All this if statements. As soon as you bring out this report that says scientifically that, hey, you are born a homosexual, this is uncontroversial, unquestionable, solid, I don't know if that uncontroversial is a word, but solid fact that, hey, you're born this way, here's all the reports, 9 out of 10 people agree, blah, 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 then you can pose me that question and I'll answer it.
So you're unwilling to even answer if it's... Okay, DG, you might have missed my question and all that. My question is, if anything is determined to be opposite of what your belief system is, and it were to determine to be the truth, why would that be a bad thing? Because, hey, now you've learned that the belief system that you've had is not the right one, and there might be the right one out there, and you could go out and
Well, see,
find
here's
it.
The thing.
You're unwilling to even answer that question.
Oh, but you're not understanding.
You choose
what you're not
to
understanding.
Blind yourself to the fact that there's a possible, I mean, just so even if it's a one in a billion trillionth chance that it could be possible of something in your belief system, I mean, essentially...
What you're not understanding, though, is that to have a solid, moral-based belief system, to truly have something that you try to live by,
mm-hmm.
you have to have unwavering belief in it.
I understand the faith.
If I get up here and say, well, I believe X, Y, and Z, but it's possible that, you know, X, Y, and Z is actually A, B, and C, then my belief system is no longer a solid belief system. It's a wishy-washy, wavery belief system that says, well, even though I believe this, I also know that, hey, it may not be,
so
nothing works.
You're willing to blindly follow something, which, of course, is what the whole entire idea of faith is. You're willing to blindly follow it. But what I'm saying is that as a person who has rational thought,
but here's the thing.
Why are you unwilling look or accept?
You're asking me to believe that something...
You're asking me to believe in a possibility. Why aren't you willing to change your belief system?
You're asking me without actually presenting me this truth. So here's the thing. You're saying that I'm blindly following this, but you're not offering me any alternatives except to weaken my argument. If you came out...
I'm not trying to weaken our argument. I'm asking a simple question.
You're not understanding this. No, but you're not understanding this.
You're unwilling to answer a question. You're willing to follow something whether you know it to be true or not is what you're telling me. Whether you know it... If you find out that it's false, you're still going to follow that belief is what you're saying.
No, but here's the thing.
No, you're not going to.
No.
You will stop following it.
I'm saying...
That's the question I would ask you.
No, I'm not answering that question.
Okay.
The no was not in response to your question. The no was... in response to not being able to finish my thought.
Okay.
Okay? And I interrupt you a lot, so I'm not getting on you. I'm just clarifying.
Go ahead.
All right. What I was saying is that if by some weird, and to me this would be a weird cosmic whatever, blah, blah, blah.
I totally understand.
And they came out and proved that homosexuality was something that you're born with, then I would seriously have to reevaluate my entire belief system, my paradigms, everything.
Okay, fair enough.
And where I would come out, I don't know.
Okay, fair enough.
And that's, I think that's probably answering your question.
That was the answer.
But I'm not able to say that if this happened, that I can give you an answer. You know, that if it's proven that this is how I'm going to stand or whatnot. Because
I
my
wasn't
belief
asking
system,
for your,
I understand.
I wasn't
but
asking
my belief
for your new
system,
stance. I was just asking if you would reevaluate.
I would have to reevaluate.
Okay, that's all
I mean,
I was
would
asking.
Have no choice.
That's all I was asking.
And I'm just saying,
so
okay.
So you have an open enough mind that you're willing to reevaluate.
I would be
willing
to reevaluate.
Okay, that's all I was asking.
I still stand solid in my beliefs.
I understand
that would
and
never
I'm
happen.
Not asking. And Peter,
I know.
I think everybody understands that you're staying solid in your beliefs. All I was asking is, are you going to stand solid in your beliefs in the face of known truth that goes the other way, or are you willing to reevaluate?
Well,
should something
I would,
and you're willing to reevaluate?
I would have to reevaluate.
Okay,
but I'm just saying that,
and you don't have to reaffirm it because we understand.
I understand.
Okay, you don't have to keep reaffirming it.
But it's just that
are you afraid you're going to get struck down by God because you keep reaffirming it?
No.
Okay.
What I was saying.
Something else.
Well, no. Real quick.
Okay.
It's just that whenever you ask someone to counter. And although you weren't asking for a specific answer, as you just said, that you were looking for more of a vague answer, yes, I'm willing to reevaluate. Whenever you ask somebody to, as I try to think of the words to say this, to admit, you know, the so-called open-mindedness, to admit that there could be another possibility to what they believe. You know, for someone to say, no, there is no other possibility, I believe this, period, is called closed-minded. That's not to say, though, that if something was actually discovered that proved them wrong, that they wouldn't reevaluate where they stand. It just means that if, as long as there's nothing out there that can prove them differently, they're going to have an unwavering belief in what they believe.
Okay.
They're not going
to
go
with
conjecture.
What did that have
to do with
my
question? It goes with the whole debate you've been making.
It's a debate. It's not, let's attack Peter Man and try to...
I'm not taking it as an attack. I'm trying to explain what I believe.
You need to take some more philosophy classes, I think, because you're unwilling to get into a philosophical debate or argument. You're unwilling to take points of view that you may or may not agree with and go with it.
I'm just trying to explain what I believe and how I think.
Well... explaining how you think might be a little bit difficult because it's obvious that as a homophobe, it's hard for your mind to work in a normal way. You sort of work sort of weird and backwards.
Well, I was born that way, so you'll have to forgive me.
I'm sure you actually know. I'm sure you were raised that way. And I'm sure that's how the way that you are today is due to the way you're raised. And I'm sure all of us open-minded people in the world are willing to accept the fact that you are a little bit screwy. And with that, I think we'll take a break.
Sounds like a plan.
This is hour two of the Peter Eichlin Show. You're listening to Scooter, and we're broadcasting live from the Ivory Tower, in the Cub, third floor. You're listening to the Peter Eichlin Show. You can reach us online at www.informationtechnologyprofessionals.com/PES, as in the Peter Eichlin Show. You can also give us a call at area code 509-335-2207. If you have any comments or questions about our last hour, and you just want to call up and call Pete a homophobe, by all means, you're welcome to do so. And if you just want to know more about some of our PSAs, you can call and get further details. I'm just joking, you can't get further details, but we could repeat it for you. Don Snow, visiting Arnold Professor of Environmental Studies, has been discussing with Whitman students in a series of lectures this year. He will be presenting the culminating lecture in a public presentation Thursday, May 2nd, on Whitman College campus at 7 p.m. in the Young Ballroom, Reed Campus Center, corner of Park and Boyer. This presentation is free and open to the public. Come and join us. And this message is from the management of KZUU. We, as a station, attempt to support alternative views in our music as well as our programming choices. From time to time, you may feel the material presented by our staff is personally offensive. In view of recent complaints as to the content of certain shows, we have decided to institute a forum to allow you, the listener, to speak your piece. Several times per day, we will run a 5-minute segment where we air concerns or gripes you may have at the station, its staff, the university, or the world in general. You may submit these in audio format or in written statements. KZUU provides recording facilities for those who wish. For more information, contact us at KZUU via email at opinion@kzuu.com. Or is that a .org? Let me do that again. Oh, let's try that one more time. Contact them via email at opinion@kzuu.org.
Org, yes.
And I guess real quickly, I'd just like to make a quick mention of something we were supposed to have mentioned, but we didn't.
I was just thinking this.
This is the show is the complete fabrication of the Peter Man and myself, and nothing is meant to be serious or real. And homophobic Pete really isn't homophobic. He just hates gay people.
That's not true.
Anything we say or do on this show, is us, has nothing to do with WSU, the university, which is the same sometimes.
Basically, if you have a gripe,
or the
KZUU
management, or
not
anything
other
else
people.
Like that. Yeah, no. They have all of the rights in the world to call the other people. But the point is that it's not their point of view, it's our point of view, which is sort of funny. I mean, if you listen to KZUU and you think this is their point of view, wow,
yeah.
You're out there. Anywho, VoiceStream Wireless is suing Quest over their slogan. VoiceStream Wireless has a slogan of "Get More from Life." And QS uses "Get More, Save More." Well, VoiceStream thinks that Quest is confusing customers, essentially a deliberate seeking to create confusion in the minds of the customers. In other words, customers are a bunch of moo-moo cows, and they don't understand the difference between two totally different things.
So it happens.
I just thought, you know, you might be interested to know that as far as VoiceStream is concerned, you're just a moo-moo cow and you don't understand anything. All on your own. You have to be explained. Maybe we'll get some boards out and like put it up there and let you understand better.
I think most companies would have that same comment, although they wouldn't actually say it that way on radio, since that would alienate their customer base.
Well, but that's because it's true. They don't.
It is true, but most companies feel that way.
Are moo-moos.
That's what advertising's all about. People are herds of cattle, and you're just directing them to the right product to spend their money on.
That's what advertising's all about. And if they were gay cattle, you'd want to slaughter them.
There are no gay cattle.
Oh, you think so? Are there any gay mice?
I think gay mice have actually been...
And they chose to be gay, didn't they? The mice are out there going, oh, I want to be gay. I'm going to be a gay mouse.
Yeah, that was part of some study.
Yeah. Yes, as a matter of fact, it was. And had I not told you about that study, you would have said, oh, no, there's no gay mice in the world. But, you know, being that it's a choice, we know, obviously mice have the ability to reason and think because they chose to be gay.
Yeah, obviously that's one study that's never been replicated because it's highly controversial and the results...
You don't even know about the study. Who did it?
I don't know who did it.
Exactly. You know nothing of the study and here you try to lambast it. What is up with that?
What, the fact that it hasn't been replicated?
What do you know about the study?
Okay.
What do you know about it? Tell us. Tell us about the study.
No, I know exactly what you told me.
Tell us about the study.
Which was very little. But
oh, so you know so much about this very little part of what I told you that you know everything.
No, I'm just saying that it... all right. No, point taken.
Okay.
I'm lambasting a study
that
because I assumed, like an ass, I assumed... And if that's a cuss word, I am
like
apologizing.
That. That's good, Peter. I like
and
that.
And if that's one of the seven words you can't say at the FCC, I'm officially apologizing for all of our listeners for my conduct. But I assumed that if the study had been replicated and proven, it would have been on CNN because most people want to prove that homosexuality is not a choice.
It
and
wasn't
that it
a study
is,
on homosexuality, just so you know.
I know, but okay. Since the... I do know that much from what you're telling me, but they observed the homosexuality, and I assumed, like I said, like an ass, and I'm apologizing again for saying that.
And just so you know, they didn't have CNN when this study was done.
That would have been on CNN, or that if they'd been able to successfully replicate the study, it would have been on CNN, because most people have opposing views to the ones that I have expressed today, and I think that would be on nightly news just as fast as they could get it there. But I have no proof of this. I have no knowledge of this.
I guess the thing is that how do you know that if you don't know exactly what the study was about, then how do you know if it's not been replicated or not?
That's what I was just saying. I assumed. And that's why I'm appalled. I like a lot of stuff that comes out of Germany. They have the best
engineers
in the world.
I've never heard you say a bad thing about Germany.
Sure I have.
What, name one.
Hitler.
He was bad?
Yes.
Why?
Because he slaughtered millions of Jews and homosexuals and everyone else in the
but
Holocaust.
But don't you like that? That was good. He slaughtered homosexuals. That, like, furthers your cause.
As you so sarcastically and condescendingly say, hate the sin, love the sinner.
Oh. So you actually liked Hitler?
No.
You loved Hitler. You loved Hitler. You just hated his sins.
I did hate his sins.
But you loved Hitler.
But with God's love, yeah.
And that's how you love gay people, with God's love. I like how you say that. You love gays like you love Hitler.
No.
With God's love.
That's a comparison that you're making, that equating there.
Okay, I'm just trying to figure this out, Peter, because you said I don't understand this God's love thing, and I'm trying to understand it. So,
well,
so
you,
you
got to understand that.
Do you like
said,
Hitler? Do you love Hitler?
Do I love Hitler?
Yes.
No.
Okay. Do you love gays?
I like gays as people.
But you don't even like Hitler as people?
No.
He is not even worth that. Why?
I don't think he's worth that.
Why?
It's just a judgment call that
so,
I'm making.
So you're going against your hate the sin, love the sinner thing?
No, it's hate the sin, love the sinner, but in Hitler's
what
place...
What did Hitler do other than sin?
In this,
sin. Lots of sin.
In this case...
Always because he was anti-gun, right? That's why you really hate Hitler, admit it. It was anti-gun stance. Had nothing to do with the fact that he killed gays.
No, I hated Hitler because of the Holocaust and because of dragging the world into a world war. And I hate the fact that people don't understand history well enough to realize that, as far as gun control is concerned, that it was after he instituted gun control that the Holocaust started. But those are all separate issues.
Well, that's actually a bad argument in some ways, and here's why. This is the only reason why I'm going to say that could be a bad argument. I'm not saying that it's not true. I'm just saying it could be a bad argument, and here's why. If Jesus had never been born, there would never have been World War III because World War II came after he was born. And he set off a chain of events, right? I mean, just because guns were outlawed by Hitler does not necessarily mean that World War II happened.
No.
There
could
be a strong correlation.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that as far as strong correlations go, that, you know, Hitler outlawed guns, and the very next day, according to history books, because, you know, I wasn't alive then, and I haven't done any thesis papers.
Okay.
According to history books, the very next day, his stormtroopers started going through, and they were no longer just terrorizing, like throwing rocks through windows. They physically were rounding up Jewish shop owners at gunpoint. And that was the very next day after the gun control had been instituted, and it was like that week.
That seems sort of weird, the very next day, because it's like,
well, no,
I can't
not
see how millions of people could have turned their guns
in
a couple hours.
Not from when it was
instituted.
It was like, it was instituted at, like, I don't know exactly what day, but there was like a week span and for collecting the guns.
Mm-hmm.
And then the very next day after their week span of, like, the law being implemented, all this happened.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But once again, though, it comes down to the point
that... It's just a strong correlation.
It comes to the point that, according to Peter... You hate the sin and you love the sinner.
Mm-hmm.
Or hate the sin, love the sinner. Whichever you prefer.
Scott puts it.
As whichever you prefer. And I find it interesting that you're even going against that view when it comes to certain people. And my question is that are you only saying that you love gay people in God's love way, of course, just to not get in trouble?
No, it's not that at all.
Or is it true?
It's really true.
What if Hitler was gay? Would you love him then?
The Hitler example is...
I'm asking. That's an extreme.
No,
it's
I understand.
It's an extreme.
I understand.
And I mean, if I'm going to test your belief system, I think that the extremes should be looked at.
The extremes should be looked at. And as the extremes, it does push my belief system because, you know, everybody... you grow up reading about in history how Hitler was a bad man.
But what did Hitler do to you?
You grow up reading about all this stuff about he was a bad man, so it's just sort of natural that when someone says Hitler, you think bad man.
Mm-hmm. Right, because that's how we are conditioned.
Mm-hmm.
Knowingly, because you don't want to admit to loving Hitler, yet you are very happy not breaking the code for other reasons.
Okay,
people
let's take.
Are like, oh my God!
Let's take the law for example.
Uh-huh.
People say I follow. No, I'm not saying me personally, but people will say, "Well, yes, I'm a law-abiding citizen."
Mm-hmm.
Do they speed? Well, they're knowingly breaking the law. Why won't you murder then? That's breaking the law. I can't believe people won't break the law.
That was beautiful.
That's my impersonation of Scooter today. If you like that, please send $3.95 to the care of Peter Eichmann. I can get you a tape.
Well, the funny thing...
I mean, it's the same example. People aren't perfect.
I love it. You're comparing speeding with murdering, which speeding, by the way, is not breaking the law. It's an infraction. It's not a criminal offense. So you haven't broken the law.
So you're not breaking the law unless there's a criminal offense?
You're not breaking the law. It's an infraction. It's not a criminal offense. It's not breaking the law. So
you're just infracting
against
the law.
It's an infraction. That's why it's purely an infraction. That's why there's no things that will happen unless you refuse to sign the ticket. Then you have broken the law. Then you...
So when there's like these seatbelt signs in Colorado or in Washington...
That's actually going to be something where they can pull you over initially now.
Yeah, I know. That's interesting because, you know, if we start discussing seatbelt laws, I think that's stupid too, but...
I agree.
You know,
I understand why they're there, but at the same time...
Now, the big sign says that, buckle up, it's the law. You know, you see that sign when you're driving out of Moscow,
uh-huh.
You cross the state line.
Mm-hmm.
It says, Washington State, buckle up, it's the law.
Uh-huh.
So if you don't buckle up, they can pull you over and write you a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's an infraction.
But that's an infraction. Mm-hmm. Even though it says, buckle up, it's the law, and that they'll pull you over... For a reason, for not following that law.
Should they write the
you're
sign?
Not actually breaking
should they write
a law?
The sign in pure legalese so,
no,
so it's more so it's more correct? Or should they write it in such a way that it's real quick and simple to read?
They should write it to where it's correct.
Okay, so maybe we should get out a little fine-tune, get out a, like, magnifying glass and stuff, and, you know, or maybe we could put up 30 or 40 signs so people could read it as they're going down the road, right? Since we want it to be correct, it needs
to be correct.
Maybe we should put up the whole RCW so people think they read it and understand it, and then put up all 46, the title or chapter 46.
My point is,
so then the whole entire thing could be read that way, you understand it in context, right?
You go through, and there's something there, and it's like, buckle up, it's the law, and if you don't follow that law, they write you a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not breaking the law. You're just, it's just an infraction.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I was asking.
It's an infraction.
Which is different than actually breaking the law. You're just, not following the law is different than actually breaking the law. That's what you're saying. Because an infraction is something you get for not following the law. But if you break the law, well, that's something different.
Sure, why not?
Okay, that was just that's interesting.
Yeah, I don't, the speeding is not breaking the law. It's an infraction. It's different. It even says that it's an infraction. It's an infraction. Yes. And that's why you don't get in the kind of trouble you would if you had truly broken the law. Like dealing, like not signing the ticket that you get for speeding. That's actually breaking the law, and they'll take you to jail for that. Did you know that? If you refuse to sign a ticket in the state of Washington, you go to jail.
What about...
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
You know why?
Why?
Because when you sign that ticket, you're promising that you'll take care of it.
That you'll take care of it.
And if you refuse to sign it, that you're essentially saying, no, I'm not going to take care of the ticket. I'm not going to do it. So they're like, well, if you're not going to take care of the ticket, then we're going to have to do something about it now, which is take you to jail. Sort of like impounding your car.
Yeah.
You know, it gives you a little bit of incentive.
Incentive to do it. Yeah. I mean, I guess that makes sense. Makes
so
perfect sense.
So anyway.
But what about...
Let's go back to this other thing.
Well, I'm getting there.
Okay.
Breaks into your house, meaning that your door was locked and they forced their way in, or they crawled in through a window that they broke. Basically meaning that it's forced entry, visible forced entry.
So if they go through an open window, then it's not the same.
No, it's not the same.
Interesting.
It has to be a locked window that they forced open, that's visible sign, or that they broke and crawled through. Anyway, it's not, if there's visible forced entry, someone comes into your house that way, you can shoot them. They don't have to have a weapon or anything. If they break into your house, you can shoot them. But if the door's unlocked, the door's open. If the window's open, the window's unlocked, it doesn't count.
That's messed up.
I mean, I'm not saying that if you shot them, you'd get prosecuted and thrown in jail. I'm just saying that you would actually have to make a court appearance. But if you could show that there was visible entry, you wouldn't even have to go to court.
Okay. We've successfully dodged this issue for long enough, so we're going to have to go back to it. Are you... Hey, how are you doing, Sylvia?
Hey, how are you doing?
Hey.
Good. We're talking about God's love, and we're talking about...
Oh, no. I was just
going to
do a show today on my saint.
Hey! Great. Well, okay, so here's what we're doing. We're talking about God's love, and according to homophobic Pete over there, you hate the sin, you love the sinner. Therefore, you hate the sin, you love the sinner. Therefore, if homosexuality is a sin, you don't like the sin, but the person, you still love the person, right? Mm-hmm. So you hate the sin, but you love the... Then I posed a question to him. Well, if you hate the sin, you love the sinner. Do you love Hitler? Because he was a sinner. Mm-hmm. But do you still love Hitler? He said no. So I found it sort of interesting that he says hate the sin, love the sinner, yet he's unwilling to love Hitler by his own argument. So yeah.
Let me give you a Drew response to all that. Actually, I'm going to promo my show a little bit later on from 9/11. I've got a saint in the family. She turned away from Judaism to Catholicism around the 1930s. Her name is Edith Stein. Hey, my name is Sylvia Stein. And she, like, the only way to survive as a Jew was to become Catholic in Germany. Then she ended up in Holland, then tried to get the Vatican to save Jews and stuff. The Vatican really didn't do anything but sit on their rich asses. You know how they got all that money there. Pope happens to be the largest stockholder on Wall Street. That's a fact.
Wow.
Anyhow, but hey, I was raised Gentile, so, okay. I'm slamming myself, too. But I reclaim my Judaism. Jewish response to Hitler's problem, and most Gentile problems, is, and the repression of homosexuality, is that it's a phenomenon of the Electra Oedipus complex. So, you know, like, Oedipus had this love fantasy for his, like, mom or something?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it can also work another way. Like, it's... an effeminate Oedipus complex for the mom. So it can also be a woman who's like in love with her mom and can't fulfill and all this other stuff. Well, for Hitler, the typical answer is, because Hitler, like in Austria, when he was being a painter and stuff, and trying to make conversation with Jewish theologians, lawyers, and all the rest of it, which he was, and he writes about this in his diaries and stuff, he could never win an argument. But he highly respected their ability to argue and to win the point. But he didn't have it rhetorically. He was a pretty good artist, actually, except for not being able to do people too well. But being unable to reconcile his attraction towards the religion that he considered prior to Christianity, then he considered Christianity to be like an improvement upon Judaism. But it's kind of like being in love with your mom or dad or something, and you can't resolve that love because they're totally denying you. And so his frustration, in some ways, is also seen as not necessarily a complete hatred of Jew, but a complete inability to be accepted by them. Yeah? So it's like the same thing. Sometimes you look at the issue of pedophilia in the church and all this other stuff. There's this inability, Christian church, right? Gentile, we're looking at Catholicism specifically.
Yeah, it's been in the news enough lately.
This, so that's why I know something about it. There's an inability because these priests and women and so on are taught to love a stick figure, you know, like this Jesus, imitation of a Jesus in wood and on painting and so on. And so the male priest is told he's married to this figure, right? A male figure. It's supposed to be his dad, right? And his mom. But he can never consummate the relationship. So you almost develop, or you nurture the homosexual tendency and love in the male priest, right? Which is really strange, because then you're no longer, even if the guy goes in there and he's straight, In the relationship, once he's married to Jesus, right, even if he was a straight guy before becoming a priest, you're in a sense maturing his emotional development towards an image that then he can never consummate. Yeah? So the basis of the criticism is that, first of all, there is a tendency to be either homosexual or bisexual or single, heterosexual, whatever. It's all in you. It's how society is going to form you. And then if society doesn't give you an outlet for it, it's going to come out in a way that society probably doesn't approve of. And as long as society doesn't have laws that legitimate the behavior they construct in people, you're going to be calling it a sin. Okay? But sin is a social creation and a construction.
That's actually really interesting.
Thank you. Interesting. And once again, you can listen to more of Sylvia from 9 to 11 right here on KZUU. And she'll be talking about some religion stuff. Not very, as you know from earlier, I'm not a really big religion guy myself, but breaking everything about religion.
Well, I wouldn't say I know everything. There's a lot that I don't know, but that was actually very interesting.
Pete's looking over his shoulder.
I don't know where he gets them from, but he just decides to make up a sentence, and of course it has Peter, or Peter Man, and hate in it.
Well, the truth hurts, doesn't it?
Well, it's not the truth, though. That's why I said you're just throwing these words together. If it were the truth, I'd say Scott is speaking the truth, or something to that effect. But you're just throwing words together.
So what have you done to show that you don't hate gay people? It's just a belief that you have, just like...
I haven't really done anything so I don't hate gay people. You could look at it in the negative of, you know,
all I've ever seen from you is gay is wrong. 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 You've never once said anything other than that. So how is somebody supposed to take that as anything other than you not affirming the fact that you like them?
Me not affirming the fact that I like them?
Yeah.
Well, because I've said, I don't know how many times this morning, that it's not that I don't like gays, it's that I disapprove of what they're
doing. I know
doing.
You said it, but once it, I mean, but I guess what I'm getting
well,
at...
What have I done to show that I hate gays? You know,
gay is wrong. Gay is wrong.
So you're saying...
Gay is wrong. Gay is wrong. Gay is wrong. Gay is wrong. That's all you ever say.
Okay, so
you
I haven't
say
done...
anything other than that. But you've never done
said.
Anything to show that you love the sinner part.
So what you're
all
saying...
All you've ever done is you've shown up. You've shown
so what
the,
you're saying
you've
then,
shown they hate the sin, but so you've what, never shown love the
so
sin.
So here's the thing. You're saying that by me making a statement saying that homosexuality is wrong, I'm physically doing something to show that I don't like gays. But for me to make another statement in the same sentence that I like gays is not me doing anything. So to say that I don't like them, all I have to do is say I disapprove of it.
Yep.
But to say that I like them, I actually have to physically go out and do something.
Yes.
Is what you're saying.
Yes.
So you're having
yes.
a double standard there.
No.
Yes.
Negative, Ghost Rider.
Yes. That's a total
negative.
Yes.
No. Huh. It's not a double standard because you are making a claim that you love the sin. And you have done nothing to show that you actually do love the sinner. That's lip service by saying, oh, yes, I do love the sinner. The reason why I can take you for face value on saying that you hate the sin is because when you say something that would be so much against the grain these days as hating gays, that there would be no reason why you would make something like that up. So I have no problem believing.
There would be no reason why I'd make something like that
no.
up?
Why would you make up the fact that you hate gay people?
No, I don't know why I'd make it up.
Exactly. But in order to cover your own tracks and make yourself look good, you're going to say, but I love the person. I love the sinner. But you've not done anything. And see, that's the part where you're making one statement one direction, then you're making it another statement that is different but deals with the same issue going another way, and it's like you've not done anything to show that you actually go that other way. Of this.
All up people.
You've been active.
Gay friends.
And you.
Whatever.
You, because. Whatever?
No, I'm just saying
you,
I have
you
no
set
gay
out,
friends.
You set out to put up these brick walls around you so you have no gay friends.
Really?
Because you choose not to have them.
Well, you know, I think as far as the United States and all the players, you know, the executive branch and a bunch of different countries. And so in the simulation, you're in class, you write up action statements on stuff that you want to have happen by next class period, like stuff that your government would normally do. You go around class trying to talk with people and make alliances. And
the teacher allows you to do this during class time?
Yes.
And it's not an assignment?
Well, in class time it is.
Okay.
But outside of class, there's no assignments whatsoever, except for a paper. You have to write two papers.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the only assignments. But if you want to have an effective strategy, if you want to get an A, if you want to do all this stuff, then you have to go above and beyond and set up meetings outside of class, set up group work, and that. And so it's not homework because it's not assigned. It's not something that they're assigning saying, you have to do this or else I'm going to fail you. It's just that, you know, if you really want to do it properly, you have to give it the extra effort and go above and beyond. So I would classify that as something else's homework.
Mm.
But anyways, lately that's been taking a lot of my time. All my time.
That's interesting. Homework to me is things you do at home. That's work.
Okay.
Studying, you know.
Well, that still wouldn't count as homework because I never do it at home. I always do it in the Cub. So.
Okay. Anyway.
The point is, I don't get out a lot. I don't talk to that many people, period.
Okay.
And so, if you're going to use that as a basis of the fact that I don't like all these different people, then you can just take every bad thing that's known to man and label it on me, Peter Eichmann, if you're going to use this campus as an example of what I do and don't do.
Okay. Okay, so let's not use this campus as an example because you so emphatically say it's a bad example. Let's go back to Cedar Ridge. How many gay guys do you hang out with there?
In Cedar Ridge, I didn't know any gay people.
Oh, okay. So the only gay people you know are here on this campus, then?
Yes.
And you've not done anything to become friends with them?
But again, if you go on this campus, I haven't done anything to become friends with most of the people on the campus except for Scooter.
Mm-hmm.
You.
That's interesting.
That's the truth.
Okay.
In Cedar Edge, I just didn't know. I think if there were any gay people...
You'd stop liking them.
No, if there were any gay people, they were...
Closeted?
Closeted.
They were afraid. But why would somebody who chooses to do something hide it like that?
I don't know.
Do you ever wonder that?
people choose to do a lot of things that they try to hide. I don't understand why. I figure that if you're going to do something, then you should just do it. But I don't know. I mean, you know, since I compare everything to laws, people do things that they decide to hide.
That's interesting. In a black and white world of Peter Man, he has so many gray areas. Sad. So sad.
The world is gray, but you have to try and define it.
Yeah, and the way you define it is pretty raunchy.
Says you.
Says you. You're the one who doesn't like the gay people. You're hey, the one who's...
Hey, you finally said something. You didn't use hate.
Oh, so sit to the not liking part, huh? You just, you refuse to accept you hate gay people, but you don't like gay people.
No, I'm not admitting anything. I'm just happy that you're finally moving towards the right direction. Me, of getting rid of the word hate, at least. That's a start.
Why? Does it offend you when I say that you hate gay people?
No, it's just a lie, so...
Does it offend you? Some of them call them husbands, wives, lovers.
But since...
Significant other.
Okay, significant other. That word too.
Friends. Whatever.
So you're hanging out
okay.
with this person that you have feelings towards.
Mm-hmm.
And since you're homosexual, it's of the same sex.
Okay.
And I don't see... I mean, the feelings involved are one thing, but I don't know if that really gets defined as gay lifestyle because, you know, I'm heterosexual and I spend most of my time, if it's not in front of the computer, with Scooter over there. I don't... You know, we're best friends.
Okay.
We're both male. We go around. We go to movies. I mean, I don't see where being gay is going to, where gays are going to do anything different than like best friends, except that they're going to have probably some deeper feelings.
Maybe.
Yeah, most likely. But I mean, how would you define the lifestyle then? Since I so miserably failed here, according to you, I mean, let's hear it.
The lifestyle is that of your overall outlook, your overall... You get married, have certain bedroom features. If you're gay, when you get married, obviously you can't do that because that's illegal, since everybody hates gay people. It comes to being homophobic Pete over there. What happens is that that's implemented a part of what being gay is all about. Being gay is about living a life where you don't deny who you are. Living a life in such a way that you feel you are who...
I have a dirty mind. I mean, I'll admit it.
We don't have to hear about your dirty mind.
I have a dirty mind, you know. I have posters on my wall of women, and yes, I have dirty thoughts. I mean... That's not to say that I don't see them as people.
Aren't those young teenage girls?
No. As Scott likes to try to point out, they are all in their 20s or 30s.
What? Anna Kournikova? She's like 30? Since when? How old was she in that picture? 12?
In that picture, she was 19.
Okay. Anyway.
I'm 18.
Ooh, wow. You're old.
I'm young.
You definitely have all those real-world knowledges that
I don't
are necessary.
Have none. I don't have none.
Necessary.
I'm going to be an English major. No.
If it's necessary in your life, I like that.
I don't have any real-world experience.
Oh, okay.
Just growing up and traveling.
Okay. Well, anyway, it's just...
I'll be the first to admit my shortcomings, but
the first thing you think of when you think of a gay person is their bedroom behavior. And it's like, how are you supposed to view them as a real person?
But this is what I'm saying. I have a dirty mind. So the first thing I think of when I think of a lot of things is bedroom behavior.
Oh, my goodness.
You'll call that a cop-out, I know.
That is bad. That's a cop-out.
I know you'll call it a cop-out, but it's the truth. That's why I made the point of the women on the posters and stuff. I mean, I still view them as people, but the first thing I think of when I see them is bedroom behavior because I have a dirty mind.
Oh, my goodness. You view them as an object, but they're people.
They are people.
Oh, my God. Okay, so you're comparing gay people to posters on your wall.
No, I'm comparing...
Your view on gays to posters on the wall.
Well, all right, we can let that stand. Sure.
It boggles my mind.
General.
It boggles my mind that you can justify your first thought of gay people as bedroom behavior, as having posters on the wall, and that's how you feel about those posters as well. I mean, I find it laughable that you can try to say that you would be friends with the gay person, and first thing you think of when you see that person is what they do in the bedroom. How can you be friends with somebody like that?
It's not the first thing I think of when I see that person, though. It's just...
That's your lifestyle.
When you asked me for a definition, I was just trying to think of what all goes into a gay lifestyle. And yes, the first thing that comes to mind in gay lifestyle is...
Good morning, good evening, whatever, and you're listening to the third and final hour in the history of the Peter Eichmann Show. I suppose there's a chance we might be back next semester, but I have a feeling that we're not the most liked show hosts here at KCEU due to some of Peter Mann's hatred towards gays, and that's actually what it's based on. As a matter of fact, let's tell you a little bit about that. Let me start with saying that all the views expressed on the Peter Eichmann Show are those of Peter and Scooter and do not reflect necessarily those of the management or the staff or the advisors of KZUU of Washington State University or the Cub. But here we are in the Ivory Tower, and I need to tell you, this is a message from the KZUU management. We as a station attempt to support alternative views and our music as well as our programming choices. From time to time, you may find material presented by our staff is personally offensive. In the view of recent complaints as to content of certain shows, we decided to institute a forum to allow you, the listener, to speak your piece. Several times per day, we'll run a 5-minute segment where we air concerns or gripes you may have with the station, its staff, the university, or the world in general. You may submit these in audio format or written statement. KZUU will provide recording facilities for those who wish. For more information, please contact us via email at opinion@kzuu.org. 2 weeks ago, Peter Eichmann Show had a story about the mall's spray painting and the flag burning in Moscow. A listener, after hearing what we were talking about, recorded the show and turned it into our station supervisors, who were none too pleased with what we had to say. Well, I would like to think that if anybody out there was actually listening to the whole thing, they would have heard several things. First off, they would have heard that at no point in the whole entire show did myself nor the Peter Man ever say that we actually agreed with or supported their views.
In fact,
all we said is that those views need to be protected.
Yes, I was going to say quite often we were saying the opposite, that we disagreed with stealing.
And I'm not talking about stealing because those are the low level criminal
flag burning.
Right. I'm talking about the actual views that were expressed. At no time did we ever say we agreed or disagreed with those views.
Strictly
but
neutral
stance. Because But because we talked about them and said that they had the right to say it, we were painted with a broad brush of more or less being homophobic.
Yes.
Because of what?
Of agreeing with their views.
Agreeing with their right to say those views.
I know. That's why I was saying.
And what we wholeheartedly disagreed with was the way in which they tried to get those views across. Had they done a demonstration out on the mall in the middle of the afternoon, holding up signs or saying certain things, that would have been their right. Mm-hmm. But the way they went about doing it, we totally disagreed with. Flag burning, stealing, vandalism, we disagreed with. But what they had to say, the fact that they had the ability to say it, is the part that needs to be protected.
Exactly.
People, or I shouldn't say people, there was at least one person who wasn't happy with what we said. They obviously felt that we probably should have condemned the people for even saying that. And, you know, that goes along with that story that I told about the guy who said, you know, they first came for the Poles, but I didn't say anything because I wasn't Polish and mm-hmm. so on.
It's the truth. Free speech needs to be protected,
whether you agree with it or not.
Well,
what's interesting about the whole thing anyway is that that it seems like either somebody didn't listen to everything that we said or they chose to believe that what we said and what we really meant deep down inside were two different things, and they're going by what we meant really deep down inside because they know us better than what we're actually saying, and that we're actually but what we're saying is something that we're essentially lying through our teeth when we say what we do, and when we say it, we actually mean something else. Anyway, bottom line is that though homophobic Pete over there even admitted on the air to being homophobic. And we know, as this last hour and a half has shown, he hates gay people, and he has over and over and over said it again.
No,
not only
I have
does
not
he
said
hate
that.
Gay people, he also hates Hitler, which I guess is a good thing. So, you know, he's trying to look good in your people's eyes out there. He's trying to say, I hate Hitler. Well, I hate gay people too, but I hate Hitler.
I don't know where he got I hate gay people from, but he's just throwing that out there for you. It's not the truth, but he's throwing it out there.
Yeah, well. Peter even admitted he has no gay friends. Peter has no gay friends.
As far as the flag burning goes and the U of I incident, to paraphrase Voltaire, I believe, sir, I may not agree with what you have to say, but I will give my life to defend your right to say it. And that's exactly what we're saying here. Not that we're willing to give our life for it. But
not in that situation. But
we are defending their right as free citizens of the United States of America and their First Amendment protection.
And to be honest with you,
the freedom of speech.
And they, in some ways,
the way they did it,
was
wrong.
Hold on. Well, we know that. We've already discussed that. I think in some ways their ability to say it is infringed upon more than the average person because they are ASU of I senators who are supposedly viewed as these all enlightened people who love everybody except Hitler because everybody hates Hitler, right, Peter?
Right.
And that they should have they should never do anything like that. They should never speak out against anything like that because it's not a very well hidden truth that gay people are very active in government and very active in their agenda. And when they find that somebody is working against their agenda, they come out in full force against that person, and they do what they can to get that person out of office because, obviously, that person being in office goes against their agenda. And in the situation of the University of Idaho, those senators obviously disagreed with being gay. Well, after the fact, they said it had nothing to do with that, which I don't believe. But,
yeah, me neither.
But they claim it had that. So anyway, they don't and I understand why they sort of repent in public because, you know, having that kind of view is definitely one that's not popular today, and there's very few people who are willing to have an unpopular view, especially those who are in government. And I think those are the kind of people sometimes you need in government, those who are willing to step up and say, look, you know, this ain't popular, but this is the way I think it needs mm-hmm. to be, and this is what I'm willing to do. But the thing is that there's so many people out there that won't allow people to do that anymore. So those U of I senators, I think, in some ways, needed that extra protection to, they lost their jobs over it. And I would say if they lost their jobs due to the theft and all that kind of stuff, good, because they deserved it. But, you know, to lose your job over your thoughts, for sort of like that East Side Fire and Rescue guy. Yeah, he might have said something that was very insensitive and everything, but you're talking losing a job over something you thought or said. I mean, it's like, what are we coming to? Hello, First Amendment, freedom of speech rights are out the window. And you are, I mean, essentially the penalty of saying things wrong is losing your job. And that's where Peter and I were at the other day. We had said the wrong thing. We were ready to lose our jobs. We would not have been on the air the these last 2 weeks until, I guess, maybe they looked at it deeper and said, you know, okay, it wasn't as bad as we originally thought. They really didn't do the things we were thinking they did, even though the funny thing is they listened to the same 20-minute segment that we obviously that we did on the air. And it's sort of interesting that the first time you listen to it, you think all these terrible, bad things, but then you listen to it again, you actually hear what they say, and you realize, oh, wow, they didn't say what I thought they did.
Yep.
You know, and that's so true with so many times if somebody says something that's against the grain, you don't hear what they say. You think you know what they say. It's like when you type your own paper and you read it. You don't read what you really wrote. You read what you thought you wrote.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that's how it is. Maybe in the future, you know, I love the fact, as a matter of fact, both Peter and I loved the fact that somebody was angry enough to do this, because it meant that you know, we were hitting a nerve somewhere. And the only thing that we would prefer is if you were to call us up so we could discuss it on the air.
Yes. We'd love nothing
more.
We
love discussions. We love...
Have a good discussion.
And you, as you see, homophobic Pete over there is fun to call homophobic and a gay hater. And if you want to do that, you can definitely give us a call at 335-2207. And Peter would love to defend his messed up, backwards, Middle Ages view on things.
Well, I wouldn't call it all that, but I would love to defend my view, so please call in. I appreciate it, because, you know, that's what this show's all about. Open forum, debates, discussions, getting ideas out there.
As question the is that what the show will be about next semester, if there's even one?
As KZU says, getting ideas and views out there that aren't of the majority. That goes for music and opinions. And it'll
be interesting to see.
So it'll be interesting
to see.
This
very well could be
it.
The last 30 minutes of the Peter Eichmann show in the history of WSU, because...
And
it's I don't know.
20 minutes for Peter Eichmann.
Yeah, I don't know if we have. We might have made the wrong people mad at us, and it's too bad. I mean, in 40 hours of talk time our whole entire show on 20 minutes is, I think that's pretty unfair. But then again, that's your right to make those snap judgments on us in 20 minutes. But
it may not happen.
Talking about something else real quick, since we've harped on that long enough. Going back to National ID Card, update on this, Thriftway in the Seattle area is starting a new program. It's a finger scan. What you do is you voluntarily sign up for this. There's a company, I believe, out of California that has this set up. Essentially what happens is you sign up and you say, okay, I want this credit card or this banking account essentially associated with my finger. And you go to Thriftway, you buy all your food, and then you put your finger on a little scanner. It scans your fingerprint, and if it matches the fingerprint that's on record, it takes the money right out of your account. There's no writing checks. There's not even swiping cards anymore. So the big selling point here is that you don't have to worry about carrying your wallet and possibly
PIN numbers,
credit cards, all that kind of stuff. It's your finger. Boom. It's there. It's not. Which is really interesting, because they talk about using the biometric information, and you know, on the surface it's like, well, that's not too bad, because I mean they already have your credit card number, they already have all this information.
And it's so convenient.
It's not like they don't already have that information. And it's like, you're right, they have my credit card number, but they don't have my fingerprint. Now they do.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like I like the idea that, you know, you don't have to worry about losing your credit card and somebody else racking up all sorts of bills on it and everything like that. That is definitely a nice thing. But once again, the idea of your finger being scanned and being on a computer system somewhere just gets you that much closer to the whole entire globalized or nationalized network of information about you.
Well, you just have to remember that, you know, I've said this before, and I'm big on the quotes and old things that everybody's heard a million times, but I like them. If you throw a frog in boiling water, it will jump out. If you throw it in cold water and slowly turn up the heat, it will boil to death. That's what's happening. They're not going to throw everything at us at once with one big thing. That doesn't happen because people would oppose it. They're going to do it piece by piece until we have a national ID system.
Because you won't notice it coming in little pieces.
Exactly, because it'll seem so convenient.
And see, the thing also about this that's interesting is there's some McDonald's down in, I think, Texas that are doing the same thing. They have a scan. It's through a different company, though. And what's interesting about that is that the company themselves, McDonald's, prefers that because, and as the article said, it takes the cash out of the hands of 18-year-olds. Now, is that a slap in the face as an 18-year-old?
Yeah.
I mean, it's saying they don't trust you because you're 18.
Yep.
Then again, you're homophobic,
well,
too, so hey, what the
hell? Well, I think they're saying they don't trust 18-year-olds that work at McDonald's.
Oh, they don't trust 18-year-olds who are going out and getting jobs, unlike you.
No, just ones that work at McDonald's.
So I think that somebody who goes and works at McDonald's is somebody who's a little bit more trustworthy than, say, a drug dealer. Because
I think so,
they're
too.
Going there and getting a valid job, trying to earn money
I think
for
so,
whatever
too.
Goal they have.
I will definitely say that.
So I think that's a slap in the face towards people who take jobs like that. Now, if you were to say, you know, drug dealers are preferring it because it takes the money out of their 18-year-old drug dealers' hands, I can understand that.
I can understand that.
But, I mean, you're sort of slapping in the face.
It's a slap in the face. It's a total insult.
Yeah.
Saying we don't trust you.
Yeah, we don't trust you because you're 18.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're 18. And it's like, does that mean that...
It's not based on individual merit. It's just, you know,
you're 18 because
we've had a couple people do this, so all of you that are 18 are no longer trustworthy.
Yeah.
It's that whole preventative thing that they have nowadays. It's not...
Yeah.
No, justice is no longer. It's all preventative.
Yeah.
Measures.
Yeah, let's prevent something before it happens. Therefore, then we don't have to put up with it when it does. Because it never will.
Well, it's like that new movie that's coming out. What's it called with... was it Tom Cruise and some other people? The Time movie where they like... I keep seeing the preview for this. It's this movie and they can see into the future that you would kill somebody. So they arrest you now to keep it from happening. You know, it's stuff like that. Well, if I haven't done it, am I guilty? And, you know, that's what McDonald's is doing here. No, you haven't actually stolen anything, but you're guilty of stealing until you prove to us otherwise. And we don't trust you.
Huh. Well, anyway.
You haven't seen that preview?
No.
Oh.
The Valley Road Naders softball team were in the playoffs, and they're actually second seed going into the competitive playoffs. And the sad thing about the intramurals lately in the competitive league is that so many of the teams have disappeared or gone to the recreational leagues. And I can only assume if a competitive league goes to the recreational league, their only reason for doing that is so they could play in a league with lesser quality in order to win the whole thing. And it's like, you know, I'm sorry, but winning a tournament, winning, you know, a high school or a college, winning a tournament against a elementary school.
I mean,
like,
if a competitive team goes
to
a recreational level, then it shows that they really aren't that competitive.
Yeah. Even, you know, because they want to win, so they're going to go to a lower level and win, and then they're supposed to be proud of that fact.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, how can you be proud of beating up, like, an old lady or something like that, you know? Anyway, the first game we played didn't actually play all that well. We actually almost deserved to lose the game. Except for the fact that our bats were on fire. We had the bottom of our order, which had been struggling throughout the season, went 11 for 11 combined. And our the fourth batter on our team, a cleanup hitter, went 3 for 3 with 2 runs scored and 4 RBIs. Final score of the game was 20 to 14 against the Bullets, leading the Naders to the next night playing against the Zephyrs or the Zephs. And in that game... the Zephs were pretty well put together. The Naders weren't hitting the ball like they had the night before. As a matter of fact, they had a lot less hits. Only one person on the team actually went 4 for 4, and the next best was 2 for 3. A couple people went 0 for. But it was just a matter of good hits at the right time. In the game in the quarterfinals or the semifinals, you play all 6 innings in intramural softball. And it was the top of the last inning of the game. And the Naders were down 9-5. And they went on a hitting streak, finally, and everybody just started getting hit after hit after hit after hit. Ended up scoring 7 runs to go up 12-9. The Zephs went out there and managed 1 run to lose after having led the whole game. They lost 10-12, so that was a wonderful comeback victory for the Naders. Going into the championship game on the 25th, the Naders went up against the Master Batters, who have been a team that's been around for a while, and not giving excuses or anything like that for the Naders, but they had some of their players at a test at game time, so they weren't ready. No, seriously, though, the Naders did not look like their normal selves. The top 2 batters went 0-for-5 total with a strikeout. Other than that, there's a total of 7 hits for the whole team, which is not very good if you're trying to win a softball game, and 2 strikeouts in the game. The final score of that game was 7-2 with the Naders on the losing end, ending their season. What was interesting about the game, though, I think even the Master Batters would agree to this. The umpire was not calling a great strike zone.
No.
He was calling them pretty far up and pretty far out. And you don't, I mean, it's very rare for an umpire to end a championship game on a strikeout, especially one that was so controversial as the one he did. Yeah. Essentially, you have your guy up there. There's 2 outs in the bottom last inning. You can argue that you need to swing away and protect the plate. But you don't swing away and protect the plate when the ball's outside and at the level of your head, because that's not in the strike zone.
And when it's eye level, you know, that's...
It's called, in our situation, it was called strike 3, ending the game. Granted, we would have had to go on a five-run inning on 2 outs, so a nice big 5-run rally. And that's not to say that it could have happened had that strikeout not been called, but it's like, you know, you need to give us the opportunity and call the proper call, whether it be a ball or a strike, and not make such terrible calls. I guess for me, you know, the intramurals have a lot of different umpires, and some umpires are really good. Some umpires, you know, are new and they leave something to be desired. And some umpires just are no good. Some of them have been around for a while and they just are not good. And in this situation, we had the same umpire in a, not a championship game, but a, like a quarterfinal game that's several years ago. And he had a really bad strike zone back then. And our pitcher made mention of that, more or less got frustrated and yelled, "What in the heck?" You know, that, or what, you know, essentially, "What do you mean that's not a strike?" Something along those lines. Just, he was arguing balls and strikes, which is, everybody will admit, is a no-no. And as an umpire myself, I know that when a coach starts arguing balls and strikes, you could do one of several things. You could show them who's the boss, and then just start calling everything a strike no matter what, and sort of let them know that, you know, you shut up. Or you look over at him and say, "One more word, you're out of here." In our situation, in a championship game, when we only had 9 guys to begin with, the umpire, upon hearing that, "You're out." I mean, no yellow cards, no warnings. He threw my guy out of the game. And I was like, "What? You threw him out for arguing, and you gave him no warnings, you gave him nothing, you just threw him directly out of the game? We were already shorthanded. What are you doing?" I mean, I'm not going to say that he cost us the game, because as it was, we only lost by a couple runs. I mean, having had our pitcher, we probably would have won that game. Losing our pitcher cost us that game. And to blame it all on the umpire, I can't do. But at the same time, to say that
he didn't affect it.
That he didn't affect the outcome of that game, I can't. You know, I mean, he affected the game.
Unsportsman.
He totally affected the game.
Yeah.
And once again last night. But the thing is that as far as the balls and strikes went, he was calling some pretty bad ones as the pitcher. You know, there's some that I were throwing that he weren't calling. But then again, there were some that were right in there that he wasn't calling either. He's just not a very consistent umpire. And when you get to a championship game, you should have the best umpires available on the field. And I don't believe that was the case. I don't believe he's the best umpire. As a matter of fact, throughout the whole entire season, I never saw him once up there umpiring any of our games. And then all of a sudden in a championship, there he is umpiring. And it's like, you know, you need to take the best you have, put him out there to umpire. So sadly, I think the umpire had some effect on the outcome of the game. But in reality, no matter how bad the umpire calls balls and strikes, he's not the reason why we lost the game. Mm-hmm. We lost the game because nobody on the team were getting base hits. People were popping them up. People were hitting them high. You know, they just weren't dropping in. They seemed to just sort of float to the outfielders.
Yeah.
When they were hit on the infield, they were hit right to somebody, and they made a good play on it. Batters beat us because they played better than us.
Ultimately, that's what it comes down to.
But
the team's a better player, but you'd like to have...
It's frustrating when the last out of the game is made on a strikeout like that. And it's easy to point at that. I'm just saying that, you know, it's frustrating. And I do realize that we didn't lose the game because of that. That just ended the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying the game shouldn't have ended at that point. It should have gone at least one more batter.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, let him swing and miss or something like that. That's the only thing I'm saying in that situation. And that's why I say that we need to have good umpires in those situations. But... we only have a couple minutes because the Peter Man has to leave early because
he
finds other things more important than the show.
No, I just, unfortunately, I have to leave. Well, yeah, actually, I do. My present school presentation, I have to leave a couple minutes early so I can get that set up and prepared.
Mm-hmm. What is it on, anti-homosexuality?
No, it's on the National Missile Defense System.
Is that anti-gay?
No, that's anti-ballistic missile.
Oh,
it protects all people equally.
So you're anti-gay then?
No, it's a national missile defense system.
Okay, whatever. Anyway, I guess we could both go off the air at the same time.
Yeah.
So this very well might be the last time that you hear the Peter Eichmann Show on KCUU.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. We'll try to get back on the air.
If nothing else, it'll be until the fall.
No, that's what I'm saying.
I don't know
if we'll be around in the fall because it's even. I mean,
yeah.
I don't think we make
what
very
I meant
many
was
fans.
At best,
it'll be the fall.
You'll hear us in the fall,
right?
Not over the summer.
Not over the summer. I have quite a few burners in the fire, quite a few pokers in the fire, I guess, or sticks in the fire, whatever they say. And, the Peter Man's going to be leaving town.
Yes, going home to Colorado for the summer.
And. It's been a lot of fun doing the show every week, even though it was meaning by getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
I know. That was
I think that was the hardest part was, you know, getting up at that hour.
Yes. Very hard. It didn't get any easier. When you know, with daylight savings now that it's bright out when we get up, that helps. But
yeah. But it was a lot of fun though.
We enjoyed it.
We had a lot of fun. We did a lot of research, I think, we ruffled the feathers of a few people, and I don't think we set out to ruffle feathers, but
no.
I think we set out to have open debate, and the fact that somebody totally disagreed with us, I guess, in some ways, meant that they were listening to us and taking us seriously, and I think that's all we could ask.
Well, absolutely.
I don't think that's all we could ask. I think we could also ask that you actually listen to what we say and not just assume we say
or,
what we
or
you
call
think
in. I mean. And we really enjoyed the show, and the callers that we had, we really appreciated you.
Right.
And for your views and opinions, and all we could say is I really wish that more people had called in.
And I understand why a lot of people don't call in.
It's, I understand,
you know, sometimes intimidating, or you just don't have time, or you just don't feel like it, or you don't...
Well, there's a million reasons. I don't call in that often myself. It's just now that I'm in the host position...
Yeah, it
was
fun.
Nice
it's
when
fun
people
to get
call
the calls,
yeah.
Especially those who disagreed with us, because it'd be... You know, nice to get them on the air and get a chance to say howdy hi and see what it is that we disagree with. And, I mean, obviously we had Sylvia twice now.
That was good.
And that was fun to have her come in and give her point of view on things, even
no,
though
she's,
I know.
She's doing a paper on this, and she's a professor or assistant professor. Has it?
She teaches classes. I'm not sure exactly what her official position is.
Yeah, she teaches. So, I mean, that was always really good when she came in, very well informed.
And I guess I'll let Peter sign off, and then I'll sign off, and we'll call it a day.
Yeah, well, thank you for listening, and I've had a good time, and hopefully we'll see you next fall. This is Peter Eichmann signing off.
And I'd like to say thank you to all the listeners, and I just going along with Homophobic Pete, I really hope that we do see you next fall. And if we do, we'll have a whole bunch of new stories and maybe a couple more good debates on homosexuality and burning of flags and all that other kind of good stuff. And at that, this is Scooter. And for Homophobic Pete, have a great day.